This is Detention, a podcast dedicated to candid conversations about education. I'm your host, Dr. Nadia Lopez, a global leader, author, speaker, coach, consultant, and entrepreneur who opened a school to close a prison. Join me as I share my insights and bring fellow disruptors to serve time in conversation. Rebels, let's get into some good trouble. Hey, hey, hey. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Detention. Today, I am sharing with you 7 principles for principals to follow. Now, these are things that school leaders should prioritize because how you show up actually matters. The first principle is do not hide in your office. The work is in the classrooms and the interactions happen in the hallways and gatherings are often happening inside of the lunchrooms. So why would you as the leader then be stuck in your office? I get it. I did the work for 10 years and I know that there are emails coming from the district. There's a long list of compliance that you have to meet. There are vendors popping up, parents who want questions answered, and just a myriad of things that come your way. But you have to commit yourself to being in those classrooms and being in the hallways throughout the day. How you build trust is how you make yourself accessible and keeping your pulse on what is happening in your school building. Because there is nothing worse than a student saying, "I never see my principal. I barely know what they look like." And let me tell you, it has happened time and time again. I would ask a lot of the young people in my school, "Tell me about your elementary school principal." And many of them couldn't give me a sentence to describe the type of work that they did or tell me anything that they did in terms of inspiring or empowering them because they never saw them except for graduation or other special events. The second principle is checking in with your staff and your students. I know that there are a lot of school buildings where there are hundreds and thousands of children and adults that come through the building. For me, I only had 200. For others, they may have had 4,000. But it's important to put yourself in a position where you can greet your young people in the morning and say hi to your staff, just by letting them know that you appreciate them coming in. Passing by classrooms while teachers are on preps to say hello, to check in with how they're doing, as opposed to talking about an evaluation, shows that you're invested in them and makes them feel like, "I have a principal who really goes around and wants to know that we're okay." I would also suggest you having office hours that makes you accessible to your staff members so that they know that you have an open door policy whenever they need to talk. But I know that it could be inundating and sometimes it's just way too many kids and way too many adults that you have to check in with. So you can implement a survey. See, I gave out surveys simply because the Department of Education required us to do that for our staff members, the parents, and the scholars. But what would happen is they would be administered, let's say about February, and the deadline was mid-March. I would never get the results until sometime in July, maybe early August. By that time, it's too late. Yeah, I could look at the results and make some decisions and changes for the following year, but I needed things in real time. So I made it my business to actually administer the surveys to the scholars myself. If it wasn't me, it was then my assistant principal or my director of programs, because I wanted the scholars to know that we were engaging in confidentiality and things that they were sharing with me about the school and teachers and even their peers was going to remain with me. Additionally, I always checked in with my staff. I may have given them something in writing, like paper form or maybe Google Forms where they can give me immediate feedback. But I was always willing to take time to just hear what they had to say, because in order for me to be an effective leader, it was important for me to actually respond to what those I was serving was actually saying. The third principle is to be transparent about the challenges you're facing. As a leader, you definitely have to show competence and make executive decisions. And sometimes that can be very exhausting. But you must always know that you can't have all of the answers. And sometimes you're going to make decisions that are based off of issues that go against your own personal beliefs. You have to take a minute to pause. And you don't have to feel obligated to be a superhero every single moment of the day. Instead, just be human. Be honest about how you're figuring things out. Tell your team that you're trying to figure out the best solution. And let them know, listen, this is a hard decision and I know there's a lot riding on this. Or I don't have the answer to the question, but I'm working on getting the best solution possible for us to thrive. This helps build trust as well as empathy, and it allows your team to see how you as a leader think through some of the things that may have long-term impact, not just on them, but the young people that you all are working towards making a brighter and better future for. Principle number four, teach, model, and lead by example. It's so important that as a school leader, you don't forget where you come from. And when I say that, what I mean is that when given the opportunity, teach. Whether that's teaching a course that you create, or covering a class when a teacher is absent, or perhaps being willing to co-teach so that you can work alongside one of your teachers and provide them with support and allow the young scholars in your school to see that you still got it. It helps you to realize what the educators are experiencing in the classroom and how the students are engaging and what type of modifications or professional support is needed to improve instruction. And how you can develop interventions that will target your students' needs. It's so important to engage in this process, and I know it could be overwhelming and daunting. But if you don't know what's happening and you don't inspect what you expect, those outcomes will not move. The other thing you can do is lunch duty. And I know when you've earned that title of principal, the last thing you want to do is lunch duty. But the truth of the matter is, it's the best time to build relationship with kids. It helps to promote structure, sets the tone of expectations, and it also provides support for your team that is essentially having to do all of this discipline, holding down the fort in the lunchroom. There's usually less adults per children as it would be in classrooms. It's also a great time to just sit and have a meal with the young people. You can manage the cleanup, you can play games with them, and you can also recognize the dynamics of how and who the young people are in terms of gravitating in groups. Who are the introverts? Who are the extroverts? Are they sitting by ethnicity? Are they sitting by identity? Who's the one who looks like they don't fit in? And how can you step in or create something for them to feel welcomed in the space? I also found that this was a great time to host book clubs. My mentor, Dr. Renee Young, would tell me that oftentimes your teachers will say that your kids can't read without being very specific about what are the troubling spots. Is it because they lack comprehension? Are they unfamiliar with sight words? Are they having trouble with diction? What's the specifics? She said the only way you can hone in on what's the actual problem is by having a book club. So I would do that, and I found that a lot of my young people had dyslexia, which then prompted me to ask, what are we doing and why are none of the children in our school diagnosed? The other thing, the way that you can be an example is by checking in and attending department or grade level meetings. You know, it's really important for you to manage the culture of your school and establish cohesive processes and practices. This is a time for your team members to discuss data, lesson plans, student work, and even analyzing behaviors. It's a space that's supposed to be focusing on the solutions to problems. But if you're not checking in, it could also become the space where people start to gripe and have complaints and talk more about what's not working than being reflective about what they could be doing to improve their instruction. So take the time, attend the meetings. It's not about creating a gotcha. If you do it consistently, your staff will recognize that you're there to offer support, insight, and become a thought partner. There were times that my team was excited that I would walk into the meetings because they were grappling with an issue and wanted to make sure that they were going in the right direction. Or they just wanted to feel like they were being validated for the work that they were doing. All in all, you just need to make sure that you're showing up. Now, the fifth principle is you need to be the hostess with the mostest. Yes, that's right. I was all about hosting lunches, breakfasts, and dinners. And it wasn't just for one particular group of individuals within my school community. It was for everyone. So I would host breakfast for my staff because on Tuesdays we would have staff meetings. And it was a time for us to come together, do professional development, but I also wanted them to feel like they were being loved up on and they were appreciated. And then I would do it randomly, but I made sure that there was a spread of a variety of an assortment for breakfast or whether it was for lunch. And I would sit with my team and I would engage in conversations and we would laugh and we would talk about just not academics, but life in general. It broke the ice. It didn't feel like work. And folks felt appreciated. I would host breakfast and also lunches for my students. I thought that that was important. And I say students, but I really mean scholars, because for me, it's always about reminding them that they are lifelong learners. But there are some people who wouldn't understand that I'm using the word student, using the word scholar as student. So for the purpose of this, I'm going to remain with scholars because that's really what I feel comfortable with. I didn't do it for the special scholars or saying, oh, this group deserves it more than another group. Sometimes it was based off of competition. It was based off of attendance. But there were days that I would do breakfast for the entire scholars population, especially when it came to standardized tests. I wanted to make the day a little bit less stressful and have them have a good breakfast because many of them came to school without having breakfast. And then there was dinner with parents. That was my dinner with love, and it gave parents access to me as much as I had an open door policy that whenever they came into the building, they were prioritized. But this was more about seeing them as a parent because I also was a single parent and I know how hard it was for me to carve out time for myself and to feel like I was a priority. This was all about them. This was giving them the opportunity to just sit and meet other parents and laugh and listen to music and dance if they want to, and even just talk to me and share whatever their concerns were, or just to just have a great conversation. People love to spend time with you as the leader and break bread. And this is a wonderful opportunity to do so because they want to feel valued. And it is reciprocated because you get to finally hear from those individuals how much they appreciate and value you as well. The sixth principle is self-reflection, self-reflection, self-reflection. This is about taking a hard look at where you are as a leader, where your school is as it relates to the progress and the successes that you've accomplished, and what are the things you need to put in place for improvement. I want to be clear in saying this is not about beating yourself up, although it can feel overwhelming when you look at all the things you have to evaluate. but it gives you a moment to pause to see your role and what are others doing in order for you to meet school-wide goals. You know, there were often times that I felt like I was failing in a specific area, but it was because I was not delegating. I was not leveraging those who I had built capacity around. And I had taken on too much, things that I should not have been involved in, right? So if it comes to maybe something around social emotional support for a young scholar, that could have easily been our shepherds, which consisted of a guidance counselor and a social worker. It could have been the parent coordinator. It could have been the director of programs. It didn't necessarily have to be me. And so when I started to recognize where my time was going, it was important for me to take a minute to step back and start to delegate to other folks. The other thing is that we often put blame as a leader on the teachers and the scholars for not meeting our goals. If our culture isn't strong enough or there's a lack of effective practices, it's all about what they're not doing. When the reality is that as a leader, we need to look at the root of the problem. The questions that we need to ask are, is there adequate support for our team and for our scholars in the building? Is there professional development and opportunities for growth? Because people feel the need to have their capacity built as well. Are scholars being included in the decisions that are being made? And do they understand what they are learning and why? Do you, as a principal, a leader of the school, do you receive the coaching and mentorship that is required in order for you to have an accountability or thought partner? You know, leadership can be a very, very lonely place. And sometimes we get stuck in our heads and we start to overanalyze and blame ourselves for so many things, when what we really need is someone to support us by creating a strategy, by developing a plan, by making sure that we see that there are bright spots, even when we only can see how much more work is being done. We have to celebrate those small wins. And the last principle, which is really, really, really important, is that you need to find ways of gaining therapy for your own peace of mind. So whether that's getting a mental health provider, a specialist in meditation, yoga, chakra readings to help with your vibrations and centering yourself, recognizing who are the people in your tribe, who the individuals that you can call on, especially when you're on the ledge. Or how are you engaging in self-care? What are those things that offer you the joy that you need? Those are the things that you need to focus on continuously. And you should never consider them to be a luxury, but a necessity for you to thrive. See, I didn't recognize the need for therapy and the need for yoga and meditation until I got extremely sick. For the first time, I didn't have anywhere to turn but inward and start to look at the fact that I never took time to take a break, to breathe, to pause. When I went and got massages, it was because a group of girlfriends went and it was a special event and it would happen once a year. It wasn't something that I did as an ongoing basis. I didn't have a mental health provider. But I made sure that my team had mental health support. I made sure my team had yoga. And even though I did yoga with them, you know, it's supposed to be a time of you going home and relaxing because you have let go of so much energy. But I would instead go back to work because the yoga instruction was happening in my school building. And I would make sure my team left, but I kept working. It's so unhealthy. So I want you to prioritize yourself. And I also want you to consider using an accountability calendar, which is something that I had to use. I recognized that as a leader, it was too late. Like I waited until I was sick to actually analyze how much time I spent on work, how much time I spent on running around and meeting the needs of my family, how much time I had devoted to putting out fires, but none of it was actually connected to me learning something new and elevating myself. None of it had anything to do with me actually engaging in self-care. The work had become so much of a priority. And so we need to find balance. So if you're interested, the link for the accountability calendar will be in the show notes. It's something that I created because I had to develop it to find balance and to recognize when I needed to stop and pour into myself. Now, if you want more inspiration and you want more anecdotes and ways in which you as a principal can show up, I also encourage you to consider purchasing The Bridge to Brilliance, which is the book that I wrote. It's a best-selling book, and it provides so much insight of how I ran my school and the things that I needed to do, and recognizing the ways in which we can actually transform education. And that will be in the show notes, but you can find that the book sold on any online platforms, and you can go to your local bookstore, and if they don't have it, they can order it for you. But I hope you learned something today by serving detention with me. The goal is always to ensure that as leaders, as educators, we're showing up as our very best. And if you don't serve in any one of those capacities, please ensure that you share this episode, because knowledge is power. And as leaders, we often are looked upon to have all of the answers, but what we really need is for someone to provide some so that we can be our very best as well. Thank you for serving time with me here in detention. Don't forget to subscribe and to tell a friend so that this way you're up to date on new episodes that will drop every week. You can also follow us on Instagram at Detention Podcast. If you want to learn more about my services as a coach, consultant, and keynote speaker, go to www.thelopezeffect.com. And let's stay connected on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram by following me on my handle, The Lopez Effect. Lastly, if you have any topic ideas, questions, or comments, or want to sponsor future episodes, please send me an email at detentionwithdrnadialopez@gmail.com. All of this information will be in the show notes, so don't worry if you didn't get it down. I also want to send a gentle reminder to my disruptors and rebels. It's okay for us to get into a little bit of good trouble, but please take gentle care of yourself, be well, and never forget to choose you.